Grace be unto you and peace. Peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We continue the Sunday with our ongoing sermon series on Psalm 23. Our title this morning is, would you read it with me? The Burden of Loneliness, based on Psalm 23, verse 4, which says, O Lord, for you are with me. I invite you to turn your worship folder over, your handout, and find the sermon outline there as we consider the theme, the burden of loneliness. Not many years ago, a young man worked at a large grocery store while he was working his way through university. And he handled a number of tasks on that job, including making deliveries to people who lived not far away. Every 4 days, this young man shouldered a huge jug of water and carried it one half block to a building nearby for a customer. The customer was an elderly woman who lived all alone in a dark and nearly empty apartment, one light bulb from the ceiling, peeled wallpaper on the walls. This young man would deliver to her every 4 days the jug of water. He'd receive the payment from her, just chat with her for a few moments, and then be on his way. Over the months of this job, this young man grew puzzled about her purchase. He learned that she had no other source of water. She would rely on his delivery for 4 days of washing and bathing and drinking. Odd choice. City water was cheaper. The young man figured out the city would have charged her $12 to $15 a month. She was paying $50 a month for the same. Why didn't she choose the less expensive choice? The answer was in the delivery system. Yes, the city water was cheaper, but the city only sent water. It didn't send a person. She preferred to pay more and see a human face than to pay less and see no one. Now let me ask you, can anyone be that lonely? It seems that David, the Old Testament man of God and the writer of Psalm 23, was. Some of David's psalm have the feeling of being a single oak tree on a vast winter prairie all by itself. In Psalm 25:16, David wrote, "Turn to me and be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am lonely and afflicted." In Psalm 35, he said these words, "I prayed, but I felt like I lost my best friend. I paced back and forth, lonely, like a motherless child." David knew the feeling of loneliness. He knew it in his family. David was one of 8 sons of Jesse. But when Samuel the prophet came to Jesse's home to look over Jesse's boys as he searched for the new king of Israel, David was overlooked. Samuel saw the first 7 and said to Jesse, "Do you have any more?" And Jesse said, "Oh yeah, I got one more." In 1 Samuel 16:11, we read Jesse's reply, "I still have the youngest son. He's out taking care of the sheep." Now, Jesse's term in the original Hebrew language for youngest son was not very complimentary. What he really said was, "I still have the runt." Some of you were, or perhaps are, the runt in your family. The runt is the one that others have to put up with. The runt is the one people always have to keep their eyes on. The runt is the one that feels like not quite worthy or as good as the others in the family. The runt is an outcast. The runt doesn't fit in. The runt is often lonely, like young David was. Now, things didn't improve much when David changed households. Because soon after David killed the Philistine giant, Goliath, with the slingshot, he was welcomed and included into the household of King Saul. But as Saul began to turn away from God, he also turned against David. Saul sought to kill David, and David ran for his life. For 10 years, David was alone, running for his life, sleeping in caves, living off the land, hated and hunted. David was alone. He was no stranger to loneliness. I bet that many of you, know about loneliness. Do you know that sometimes pastors get lonely? I bet many of you know about loneliness too. You've learned, as I have, that you don't have to be alone to feel lonely. 2,000 years ago, those who study such things tell us that 250 million lived on this earth. But today, there are more than 5 billion. If loneliness could simply be cured by the presence of people, surely there would be less loneliness today. But loneliness lingers. Very early in his ministry, a pastor I know of offered this Sunday prayer. He prayed, "Thank you, Lord, for all our friends. We have so many, we can't spend time with all of them." But he also shared that after the service in which he prayed that prayer, a man in his congregation came to talk to him. This man was a long-time church member. This man was a successful businessman. He ran a large office, had many employees, served many clients. But that Sunday he said to his pastor, "You may have a lot of friends, not me, not one. Pastor, I'm so lonely, it's killing me." Loneliness is not the absence of faces. It's the absence of intimacy, of closeness. Loneliness doesn't just come from being alone. It comes from feeling alone. Feeling as if you are facing death alone. Facing life alone. Facing sickness alone, facing the future alone, wondering deep in your heart, does anyone really care? The heavy burden of loneliness shows up everywhere. Near the work desk of the overachiever, near the table of the overeater, near the nightstand of the sex addict, on the bar stool next to the alcoholic, and right by the school desk of the straight A student. The heavy bag of loneliness is a bag we'd like to drop as quickly as possible. But wait! And here's the question I want you to ponder today. Could loneliness be a way that God is using to get our attention? Rather than turning from loneliness, what if we instead turn to God? To quote that famous song from a very forgettable movie from 1980, if we are looking for love in all the wrong places, if we are trying to fill the hole in our heart with success or food or sex or alcohol or straight A's, that hole will remain and even grow larger. Saint Augustine, some 1,500 years ago, said, "Our heart is restless, O Lord, until it finds its rest in you." Could loneliness be God's megaphone that He's using to get our attention, to turn our hearts to Him so He can fill our hearts with His love and our days with the strength of His holy presence? Here's what I mean. Suppose you borrow a friend's car. Ruel, suppose you borrow your friend's Cadillac. You'd look good in that, wouldn't you? Yeah. Suppose any of you borrow your friend's car. You want to listen to music as you drive and you find his large CD collection. You want to listen to some oldies rock and roll, but all he has is classical music. It's a long trip. Only his CD player works, not the radio, and you can only talk to yourself for so long. So eventually, you play one of his CDs. You wanted a hot guitar, but for now, you're stuck with an orchestra. At first, it's barely tolerable. Eventually, it's okay. You find your head swaying with the music as you enjoy the pattern of the kettle drums, the beauty of the cellos. And surprisingly, you find yourself saying out loud, "Hey, this isn't so bad. In fact, this is pretty darn good." And let me ask you, would you have made that discovery on your own? Nope. What led you to it? What caused you to listen to music that you'd never really heard before? Simple. You had no other choice. You had no other option. You had nowhere else to go. Finally, when the lonely silence was too much, you took a chance on a song you've never heard. And guess what? Oh, how God wants you to listen to His music. He has a rhythm that will stir your soul. He has lyrics that will move your eyes to tears. He has melodies that will make you lie down in peace. But first, He has to get rid of all the competing music in your life, all the loud and demanding noise that fills your everyday. And so our God begins to toss away the CDs. A friend turns away. The job goes south. Your spouse doesn't understand. The church is dull. The activities you used to immerse yourself in, you have no interest in anymore. One by one, the CDs are removed. All the options are gone till finally all you have left is God. And He has had His hand in it. He would do that? You bet. Hebrews 2:16 says, "The Lord disciplines those whom He loves." In the Old Testament, when God's people shut off the music of God, when they quit listening to His voice and were immersed in the noise of unbelievers, our Lord took them alone to a wilderness. He took them there so they could listen only to His music, so they could listen only to His voice. In reference to this reality of the Exodus from Egypt, Hosea says this in Hosea chapter 2. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring Israel into the wilderness, and there I will speak tenderly to them. If God must silence every voice, He will, because He wants you to hear His music. He wants you to discover what David discovered and was able to say, Psalm 23, verse 4, O Lord, You are with me. Yes, Lord, You are in heaven. Yes, Lord, You rule the universe. But yes, 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 Lord, You are with me. Maybe it was in a pasture with the sheep. Maybe in the wilderness. Maybe in a cave. Maybe in a king's palace. But someplace God Almighty taught David to trust that He meant business when He said, Genesis 28:15, I will never leave you. 1 Kings 6:13, I will not forsake my people. Psalm 94:14, the Lord will not abandon His people. Matthew 28:20, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Psalm 23:4, O Lord, You are with me. This is not just the message of David's 23rd Psalm. It's the message of the entire Bible. The Lord is with us. In fact, one of the most glorious titles that was given to our Lord Jesus was this: Emmanuel, which means in Hebrew, God with us. And since the Lord is with us, since the Lord is with you, Herb, since the Lord is with you, Joanne, since the Lord is with you, Rodion, everything is different. You may be facing death, but you're not facing it alone. The Lord is with you. You may be facing financial challenges, but you are not facing them alone. The Lord is with you. You may be facing marital struggles, but you are not facing them alone. The Lord is with you. You may wonder if you are all alone and if anybody really cares, but you are not alone. And someone really cares. Emmanuel, the Lord is with you. Your family may turn against you, but your Lord Jesus won't. Your friends may leave you, but your Lord Jesus won't. You are not alone. My friends, Jesus, Emmanuel, He knew what loneliness is all about. When He willingly went to the cross to pay for your sins and mine and for the sins of the world, He was alone. He experienced the true hell of loneliness. The true hell of separation from His heavenly Father. As He bore the sins of the world, the Holy Father turned away. As Jesus bore the wrath of God as payment for our sins, as He paid this tremendous price, He was utterly alone. He cried out in Matthew 27:46, my God, why have You forsaken Me? Why? Why was Jesus forsaken? So that you never would be. Jesus was punished so that you never would be. Jesus experienced the utter loneliness of hell so that you never would. He took your place, died your death, paid for your sins. And as we especially celebrate next Easter, goodness, I forgot, I should say next Sunday. What is it? Say it again. Easter! As we celebrate next Sunday, Jesus rose from death. He won the victory over sin, death, and devil, not only declaring, but demonstrating the absolute truth of John 3:16. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. When you know and trust that God not only so loved the world, but that He so loved you, you won't be desperate for the love of others. You won't be like a hungry shopper at a grocery store. Ever gone to the grocery store in an empty stomach? You don't have a chance. You buy things you don't need. You get things that are no good for you. All you know is that you're hungry and you want to fill your tummy. When you're lonely. When you're lonely, you don't have to do the same thing. You don't have to fill your heart with things that are no good for you. In Jesus Christ, your Lord, you have God's perfect love. His holy word tells us in 1 John 4:18, perfect love casts out all fear. Yes, even the fear of loneliness. My friends, don't always run from loneliness. It need not be only a burden. God may just use a time of solitude in your life to teach you to hear His song. It's a melody you'll be humming for all eternity. In the name of Jesus, Amen.